Hi everyone, welcome to the Bag Room. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's great to have you here with us. Today we've got a cool show talking about golf ball compression and a new, well, relatively new and unique way to measure it with a new device, at least new to me, from Rimac Golf. That has a really cool backstory to it that kind of goes into the auto industry and then kind of weaves its way back to golf. So our guests today are Richard and Booth Platt, and their family business is Specialty Auto, which you may or may not be familiar with. But that's the jumping point to get into what is Rimac Golf and their golf ball compression testers. So, Richard and Booth, thanks for being with us today. Can you guys kind of give the backstory of why you went from and still operate Specialty Auto, but to get into the golf world and to create this specific product to test golf ball compression?
Sure, I guess I'll take that because I was the one at the very outset. Specialty Auto Parts basically makes parts for Mustangs, Camaros, muscle cars, etc. It's one of the largest suppliers in the automotive aftermarket space in that field for performance. You can buy the parts at AutoZone, etc. And among that product line, there is a tool that is used to measure valve springs. And a valve spring is a spring that kind of looks like this. And an engine will have eight of those. Sometimes there'll be one inside, it'll have 16 of those. And when those are installed in engines, they have to be precisely the same. And so that has been something that's been important in the engine building world going back to, 1930 at least. And there's a device that was patented in 1930, which looks roughly like what you see right here. And this is the device, and it can apply pressure on springs that are up to 1,000 pounds. So you have this little device that can apply 1,000 pounds of pressure. It is patented, and the patent was 1930, so it must have expired around 1946. It's a very difficult machine to make, and they apply the pressure. They make sure all the springs are correct. They put them in the race engines. After the races, they pull them out, they check them. And they know they're off to the races. And in those cases, those race engines, you're talking about engines that might be 100,000, 250,000. You're talking about races that might have millions involved. In many ways, auto racing is a larger field than golf because it's just so all-encompassing. Anyway, so this is the standard of spring testing and has been for decades and decades. And then one day I was in the office on a Saturday. The owner sometimes works on Saturday. And I just, for no reason at all, decided to take a golf ball and just pop it into one of the machines. And I thought, that's interesting. I had a sleeve of balls, so I put another one in the machine and I got a different reading. And then I put one more in the machine and I still got another reading. And I thought, that's really odd. So I did it again, and I got that. Actually, that machine had been kind of kicking around, and so the following week we got a so-called new machine, and I got the same identical crazy readings that I got on the weekend. So taking one of the taking the highest and the lowest compression ball, I went out to the warehouse, held them up 6 feet, let them go, and guess what? One of them always was a little bit higher than the other, every single time. So then I went and I bought a low compression ball like a Callaway Super Soft and a high compression ball like a Titleist Pro V1 Left Dash and dropped them. And when you do that from about 6 feet, you get about an 8-inch difference. Well, you don't have to go to MIT to figure, well, maybe they're not going to putt the same. And so the big takeaway, of course, is I have always thought that when one of my putts is short of the hole, it is not my fault. It is the ball's fault. And you know, when JJ Spaun putted from 30 feet in the 2025 Players, and his 30-foot putt stopped 3 inches short of the hole, that ended up going into a playoff. Those 3 inches cost him $1.775 billion. And he will never know without a machine whether it was him or the ball. So basically, that's how this thing came about. And so what we did is I got tired of the ball rolling off the surface on which I put it, because obviously balls roll right off and springs don't. So then Booth got in the game and really figured out how to take the machine and make it suitable for golf balls, and to change the scale to the familiar scale that had been out since 1940, actually, which is the scale you're familiar with, which goes from, say, 30 to 100 or so.
The Booth, what were kind of the big alterations you had to make to fit this for a golf purpose as opposed to an automotive purpose?
Well, that's a good question, Ryan. There's about 36 steps in the conversion process from the automotive version to convert it into the golf ball version, including taking parts off and putting parts on. But in addition to the calibration, you're changing obviously from PSI, which is a unit that we measure springs in, to Rimac units, which are an arbitrary unit that we created. So, with that said, it's an interesting process, but we get it done, and now you've got a nice looking product that's more appropriate for, I don't know, more of a retail environment or any type of place where you would be checking golf balls, something that might not fall off the countertop and things like that, all been taken into account.
Now, if I
Yeah,
remember
actually.
right, the unit is 19 pounds. So I'm assuming this is going to be something that's going to sit in a workshop if you're if you're a golfer, an amateur golfer who just likes to work on their own stuff, or if you're maybe a professional golfer who just wants to make sure that the equipment they're using from one event to the next, golf ball wise, is actually consistent.
Yeah, it's definitely a tabletop mount device for any place you want to put it. But actually, that's a very good point because we know some people, especially some of the pros, might really want to have it on site. And so when you buy it in a carton, and the carton has molded foam, two big pieces that are precisely molded that fit the machine. Curiously, it also has a couple other little cuts in it. And if you were to take the molded foam and the device out of the carton in which you get it, it happens to fit into a specific Pelican case. And of course, that means you can now carry your machine around in the Pelican case to wherever you're going, and it is super easy to do. This case has wheels and a handle like luggage, so you're not actually carrying it like a suitcase, but it makes moving it around a lot easier.
But actually, though, Booth, one of the things to talk about is, of course, when we drop the balls and we get these different, we got the different heights, then the question is, well, that's great, but what's really happening with putting? And so to that end, we came up with an idea, and it involves a steel ball. And this can be seen on the Rimac.com website. So what we do is we take a stimp meter, which is familiar to a lot of people, but we do something a little different with it. We put the steel ball here at the high end of the stimp meter, and then at the bottom end, we have the golf ball. Now, remember, if you're testing different balls, you have to strike it with identically the same identical force. Well, in order to do that, of course, robots are out there and so forth, but this is something so easy to do and everyone can understand. So basically, you set the stimp meter at a specific height where you know that the thing is going to go, and then you just let go, and like this, boom. And that is going to strike that ball every single time with the same force. And so what we found, of course, is that the low compression ball rolls, oh, 15, 17, sometimes 20% farther than the high compression ball. So and then people say, well, what's the real distance? Well, that can be 29 inches on an 11-foot putt. It can be 6 feet on a 40-foot putt. And we often joke, well, maybe only pros need this, but I'll tell you, when my chip shot from the edge of the green is 6 feet short, I don't need it to be 12 feet short. And so this helps everybody, really. Yeah, I mean, there's a really critical. I mean, this is for every club in the bag, but particularly chipping and putting. If you're the kind of person who vacillates for one golf ball model to the next, and you pick whatever is in your bag or whatever you found, it doesn't matter to you. Well, it actually does matter because the compression leads to different performance characteristics,
Well, that's
and
it,
that.
Ryan. Our big discovery is the impact on putting and chipping. Booth can explain that because clearly everyone came up originally, and what did they ask? Well, I mean, exactly. Everybody asks, how far is my drive going to go and how's this going to impact my distance? And to be perfectly honest, I'm not totally sure I know the answer about what it does, compression and how that works with your long game. But obviously we don't have the machine to study that, but on the short game, using the steel ball and being able to replicate a putt, we've been able to do quite a bit of research on this, and it's really obvious that what Richard saw
by dropping the balls, you know, on the warehouse floor and bouncing around, that's more analogous to chipping and putting. And so it became really obvious to us, like, well, what does that mean, and how does that translate into golf? And I think you could talk a little bit about, you know, what are we talking about, like distances based on compression and what, you know, how far a ball may or may not roll.
Well, yeah, the most important thing, and our it really is the effect of compression on putting and chipping is our single biggest discovery. Because frankly, if you had asked me before whether compression was going to have anything to do with chipping and putting, I would have said, I would have just laughed. I would have said, no. I mean, you don't even compress the ball, right? Well, that is not true. And of course, when you do drop them from 6 feet onto a concrete floor, you can see right away that 8-inch distance difference as it bounces up is significant. And actually, on one of the videos, we measure the height of the first bounce, then we measure the height of the second bounce, and we add the two together, and the total of the height of the low compression ball is actually 50% more than the height of the high compression ball. Well, what does that mean? That means if you're fortunate enough to be playing the plantation course, it's a hot, dry fairway, and the ball hits and rolls, it is going to roll and roll and roll because it has 50% more kinetic energy. And so it does make a big difference in just so many ways. But the most important thing is the chipping and the putting. And the most important thing there is not actually the absolute compression number, but the consistency of the balls that are in the sleeve in which you're playing on a given day.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, as we both, well, we all know this whole game is founded on consistency. So why would you even invite inconsistency into your game when you're already dealing with a ton of inconsistency in conditions and greens and everything else? The only stuff you can control, the balls and the clubs. So you might as well get that dialed in. Otherwise, it's like playing with one hand.
Well, fundamentally, I think compression is going to be the foundation of the selection of golf balls going forward. Whether you're talking about our machine or not, that's fine. But the most important thing is just the basic physics. The physics can be really advantageous. If you know all the balls in the sleeve are the same, and your 30-foot putt stops short of the hole, and you've been practicing, it's your fault if the balls are all the same. It may not be your fault if the balls are different. And that's the one thing that we can remove. And then the other thing is that balls do have different ranges, and they're designed to have different ranges. So when we sponsored the practice range at the Rocket Mortgage Classic 2 years ago, some of the pros were playing with balls that had 84 compression, and other ones were playing with balls that had 102 compression. They knew what they were doing, but when they're playing with 84, they want 84. And when they're playing with 102, they want 102. And for golfers, average golfers, or really any golfers, they can readily determine with some experimentation in a simulator which range of balls is giving them the metrics that they find optimum. Do they want the most carry distance? Do they want the most total distance? Do they want the most spin? Do they want the most apex? So if they were to do that with a ball that's 102 compression, a ball that's 90 compression, 80 compression, 70, 60, and then look at the metrics, they'll know right away which range they should be in. Say, Booth, do you think we ought to look inside a ball?
Yeah, that's what I think everybody's been waiting for. They see
Yeah.
this big
Yeah,
lumber sitting here and
I brought this device
nothing by
because
accident.
sometimes we want to know, like what's inside, and they of course the balls change from year to year and so forth. So we have this little device here that we can put a ball in like this, and I
What is that? A
could
golf ball just.
this is a th this this here is a PVC pipe cutter
Oh, I
actually.
mean the ball.
And this particular ball, this is a top flight. I haven't cut one of these in half in a long time. Let's
Wow,
see what's
that
inside
alone
it.
is
Let's
exciting.
see what's inside a top
Hey,
flight.
is it going to be liquid filled? Maybe rubber bands? Who
Yeah,
knows?
I don't
We'll
know what we're
find
gonna
out.
find. We're gonna
Oh, they're
see.
not Bellottas, boys.
I don't know. A top
Although
flight, you
those are
never
fascinating to cut open and let
know.
fall apart. I will
Oh.
say that.
Okay, let's see what we found inside. It looks like
That's
one big black blob. Yep, and I don't see any mantle layer there.
We
Or
should have
any...
probably checked the compression on it before we cut it,
Well,
but
this one I had actually
hey.
marked 88.
Oh,
The
okay. Well,
here, but
there
let's
we
take
go.
one of pick one of the balls you've got
All
there.
right. How about this Max Fly something or
Why don't you
another?
check? Why don't you check its
All
compression?
right. All right, Max Fly model we will look at in a second. Comes in at a shade under 80. It looks like about 78. What does it
Okay.
say on the side of that ball?
That one we didn't actually check before, so this is a.
No. What's the model?
Oh, this is the Max Fly True, Max Fly True Fly.
True
Yeah.
Fly.
Yeah.
Okay, there we
So I don't know
go.
much about the Max Fly True Fly, but we all we know is that it's 78 or whatever. So now we put it into the whoops,
88,
80,
88.
88. We put it in here, and we'll give it a little bit of a go like this. And we'll give it a little bit
Oh, look at it, it's a runner.
of a squeeze.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to put my finger in this sucker.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
try
definitely
the.
don't want that. I have the manual PVC cutter. You definitely don't want to pay the price.
No, this would be a little more exciting. We don't want to make the show that exciting, Ryan.
No, we don't
Blood
need a
and
liability claim.
gore all over the place.
So now we've got sort of an orange, and I see a gray layer in
Yeah.
between the cover. So this might be what considered a three-piece,
I set
possibly.
up a three-piece ball. It's
Yeah,
really
three-piece.
interesting to kind of see, cutting these open, how
This is a big piece.
manufacturers build compression. Because with multi-piece balls, you can, especially the 4 and 5 piece balls that you see now from TaylorMade and Srixon and Bridgestone, various companies, they try to build some compression with a firmer outer layer and let it get softer in the middle. And sometimes they do a gradient style and they build it out a little bit with, one less piece, but to do it that way. Have you guys found that in doing testing of different balls, is there one way that's a little bit more consistent than another? Like, all right, you found this particular golf ball was consistently solid on a compression number, and it was because of a construction method, or is it by manufacturer, or kind of what have you found in terms of consistency?
Probably by model number more.
Well, I think the question he's asking is, the Rimac machine compresses the ball quite a bit. So we're giving you sort of what we think is a whole number that sort of, I mean, describes the ball being compressed a fair amount. It's not just like a little tap, and it's not
That's a very good
as if
point.
we ran it
Because
over with a
when
hammer.
you're hitting the golf ball, the ball and the scorecard don't know how many pieces are in that ball.
Right.
All I know is what its total compression was hit with a specific club. And so by having a device that we can apply the amount of force that we can, and we could adjust it to apply even more force if we wanted, but by having a device that can do that, we effectively meld everything together, because truthfully, that's really what happens when you strike the ball.
Right.
Whether it's one piece or five piece.
Right, and that plays to, okay, so we're dropping the golf ball from 6 feet and we're getting one result. Were you to hit those golf balls with a driver, you may get a totally different result. So that's sort of doing like the one way and another. And so that number that you're talking about, which is the complete number, encapsulates all of that.
Yeah, that's what we do is we're giving you one objective variable that you can use to underlie the choice of ball that you want to play with. And then once you know that, you can be sure that you're playing with balls that meet your desired level.
How kind of last question on all of this, because I think it's really fascinating to kind of put this in the hands of the consumer. What has the reaction been from folks in the industry? Not necessarily professional golfers themselves, but folks who make these golf balls and put these products out there.
We're finding the balls are getting better. I observed this recently, and Booth's comment was, "Well,
It looks like they know they're under the Rimac microscope. And so we really don't know because, we don't work with the manufacturers. We're
Sure.
totally independent. But they do seem to be getting better, but you get incredible outliers.
Yeah.
And that is something that most people don't realize. Also, the description on the box, it may have soft in the name in some way,
But it
but it
may
may
not be
have
soft.
it's not we I don't want to mention,
Right.
but we came across one the other day, and everyone would think it's like soup. It would be like really soft, and I think it was in the high 80s,
Yeah.
okay, or 90,
Yeah.
okay. And so there's just so much puffery on the boxes. I think we're getting to the we're as I say, we're squeezing the truth out of the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. That's good for a consumer to learn more about what they're hitting, about what they should ideally be hitting, what works best for their game. Can you guys give folks a place to go for more information if they want to learn more about the golf ball compression tester and more about Rimac?
Definitely. You can get the device available at rimacgolf.com, ready to ship today if you want one. But I just wanted to quickly circle back because something you said in the very beginning about how people are going to look at buying golf balls on compression, and then circle it back to what you just said about what's on the box and all this puffery that has nothing to do with compression. Well, it's interesting that you say that because, okay, it's very obvious that the product lines are designed around compression. I mean, you just look at this chart right here. You can just this test shows you where how it's all laid out. But the interesting part about it is that's the one thing that's not talked about on the box. So
Yeah.
it's that's a it's interesting. So are we going to circle back around to where we're buying the golf balls based on how the lines are designed, or the way we're doing them now, which is just by brand and price?
Yeah, and actually on RimacGolf.com, there's a lot of data on there and it's increasing all the time, and you can see very clearly how the manufacturers have lined up their compressions. And that's not evident just by looking at the boxes, and certainly not by looking at the point of sale merchandise aids that are in the stores. And so it's really possible with our numbers to make very informed choices.
Yes.
And I think in the end, this is really going to be a major contribution to the golf game. And Ryan, you're not so old, but you might remember once upon a time there was the Wilson 90,
Yep.
and of
Professional
course,
90s, DT 90s. I was thinking
hey.
about that as we were talking. All kinds of balls I used to play that had
Well,
numbers
you
on
were
them, you know.
maybe you were in kindergarten then, but somehow you knew about it. And those balls, they got away from that when they went to the solid
Solid
core.
core, yeah.
But the physics doesn't go away, whether it's wound or whether it's solid or whether it's one piece or five piece. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to cut these balls, and then we're going to check the hardness of those different rings or pieces of
The layer, yeah.
check the hardness as you work your way to the middle, and really see very clearly what differences there are between the outer layers, outer pieces, and the central core. And that's going to be very interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see whether it ties into the overall number, which is really all that counts.
Yeah, I mean, the more data that a consumer can have, the better. They can better understand what actually they're using. I mean, if you guys can make a product that would tell me the actual stiffness of golf shafts too, that would be a great follow-up product, because that's a whole other conversation to have about
Yeah.
how whatever is flexible or senior or stiff or
Right.
none of
All these.
that's
Hey,
there's
yes.
no standardization to that either. So.
All relative terms.
At the golf show, we had a guy come up and he wants to buy the machine to do something with Little League baseball bats, and and he says they never get quite right until they've been hit 300 times. So maybe he can put it in our machine and he can knock out 299 times before he starts.
Yeah.
See, we got a product that has way more uses than what
Oh
you think.
yeah.
It's great also, for squeezing anything you happen to need to squeeze.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Fellas, really appreciate you coming on today to talk about this with me. I would love to do a follow-up about this as you get more and more data, and we can kind of talk through that too, and just kind of give consumers a better idea of what the matrix really looks like for them as they're kind of making decisions about the golf balls as they play, and make them a little bit more of an informed consumer as well.
No, that's great, Ryan. And as the thing works its way through the market, we'll keep you informed because I think pretty soon you're going to find out that some pretty big names are holding this machine in their basements.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll be having one in my workshop not too long from now and do some of this content research for myself, which I'm pretty
Yeah,
excited about too. So,
that's great.
fellas, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And we'll certainly have you back on again soon.
All right. Thank you
Thanks.
very much.
Bye-bye.